outside on an afternoon walk. But as we finish up, the room darkens.
Oh no,
Kate says suddenly.
Look.
Outside, the threatened rain has arrived. There goes our hike, Elliot says, but he sounds relieved.
We could go into town,
Mia says. Perfect weather for fishing, I suggest. I'll go fish, Ethan says.
Let's split up.
Mia claps her hands.
Girls shopping, boys outdoor boring stuff.
Anna, what do you want to do? I ask.
I don't mind,
she says,
but I'm more than happy to go shopping.
She smiles at Kate and Mia. She hates shopping. I can stay here with you, if you'd like, I offer, thinking again about how we could christen the bed.
No, you go fish,
she says, but she gives me a scorching look, her eyes smoky, making me think she'd prefer to stay home. With me. I feel 10 feet tall.
Sounds like a plan.
Kate rises from the table. Taylor will accompany you, I announce. He'll keep Anna safe.
We don't need babysitting.
Kate huffs, her irritation obvious. Anna puts her hand on her arm.
Kate, Taylor should come.
Listen to my wife. This is not up for discussion. That woman makes my hackles rise. I don't know what my brother sees in her. Elliot frowns. I need to pick up a battery for my watch in town. Today? Can't he do that at home? Take the Audi, Elliot. When you come back, we can go fishing.
Yeah.
His voice wavers.
Good plan.
What's up with him? Taylor maneuvers the minivan carrying Anna and Co. out of the driveway and sets off toward town. I hand Mrs. Bentley's Audi keys to Elliot. He's told me and Ethan to go ahead without him. We'll be on the Roaring Fork, usual place, I think, I say. As he takes the keys, his expression is odd, like he's about to face a firing squad.
Thanks, bro,
he mutters. I frown.
You okay?
He swallows.
I'm going to do it.
What?
A ring.
Ring?
I'm going to buy a ring. I think it's time.
Shit. You're going to ask Kate to marry you? He nods.
Are you sure?
Yeah, she's the one. I think my mouth drops open.
Kavanaugh?
Hey, hotshot. Marital bliss seems to be working for you.
He grins, recovering his usual devil-may-care demeanor in an instant.
You're gonna catch flies with that mouth open, dude. Go catch some fish instead.
He laughs as I shut my mouth, and dumbfounded, I watch him climb into the A4 wagon. Hot damn. He's going to marry Kavanaugh. That woman will be a thorn in my side forever. Maybe she'll say no. But as I watch him reverse out of the driveway, something tells me she won't. With a brisk wave, he's gone. I shake my head. Elliot Gray, I hope to God you know what you're doing. Ethan is in the mudroom, checking out the line of fishing rods. Float or fly? I ask him.
Let's wade. We'll be wet anyway with this rain.
Ethan replies with a grin. The gear's there. I point to one of the cupboards. I'm going to get changed. You can wear what you like from whatever's in there.
Cool.
Ethan opens the cupboard and pulls out a pair of waders. We load our backpacks and our fishing gear into my pickup, and I reverse out of the garage and head down the mountain. Even in the rain, the scenery is inspiring. Our first stop is the local angling store, where I purchase our fishing licenses. From there, we drive to one of my favorite spots on the Roaring Fork River.
You fished around here before?
I ask Ethan as we make our way to the bank.
Here, no, but around the Yakima. My dad's a big fan.
He is. Now, there's another reason to like Eamon Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Dad told me you were working with him,
Ethan says. GEH is updating his fiber optic network.
He's pleased.
I grin. I enjoy working with him. He's got a good head on his shoulders.
Ethan nods. He says the same about you. I'm glad to hear that.
From my backpack, I remove a box of flies. Inside is an impressive collection. Carmela's husband makes these. They're great for trout.
Cool.
He selects one and examines it closely.
Yeah.
I choose one. The mayflies are hatching around now.
These should do it. Let's hook some lips. I'll give you some room,
he says, and we both move over the rock-strewn bank in opposite directions. My reel is attached, but I quickly assemble the rest of the rod and run the fly line through the guides and attach my fly to the tippet. I'm ready. A glance at Ethan, who must be 25 feet away, tells me he's ready too. He makes his first cast. It's smooth and graceful, and the fly lands in what looks like a sweet spot in the water. He knows what he's doing. The roaring fork gurgles westward at my feet, flanked by rocks and silver birches. It's a perfect, peaceful setting. The mere sight of this wilderness is enough to make me exhale. I gaze intently at the water as it rushes past me, and slowly wade into the shallows.
Dad is standing with me in the water. We're in waders. He scans the river.
Here, son, you've got to learn to read the water like you do a book. Look for those telltale signs of Mr. Trout. He could be hiding under rocks in the river. He could be in the seam. You see the seam? Where the slow water hits the fast water? And look for the bubbles. He could be feeding there. He loves to eat mayflies, especially this time of year. This guy, he holds up a fly. We'll fool him with this. Take your fly and fasten to the tippet. Here, like this.
Dad knots the fly.
Now you do it.
After a few goes, I do. It's a good knot because Dad's shown me how.
Good going, Christian. Remember to cast like you're flicking paint off a brush. It's all on your wrist.
The mayfly lands and I let her drift on top of the water like Dad said. I get a bite. A trout.
Good going, Christian.
Together we reel it in.
My dad was a good teacher. I make a couple of casts upstream to the far bank and let the fly drift toward me, and soon I'm lost in concentration. Everything slips from my mind as I set about conquering the river. A heron lands upstream. The drizzle eases. It's so quiet. In spite of the weather, it's great out here. I get a bite. It's a trout. A big one. Hell yes. The trout backflips and snaps the line. Shit, lost him. And the fly. Ethan has better luck than me. I suspect he hooks the same fish I lost. The one that got away, I complain. Ethan grins.
This one had my name on it.
I check the time. We should go.
He's big enough to eat. Can we take him?
Ethan says. We shouldn't. He grimaces.
Just this once?
I smile. Let's load up and head back.
Elliot never showed,
Ethan says as we climb into the truck. His business in town must have taken longer than he thought. Ethan nods, pensive.
He's a good guy. I think my sister is pretty stuck on him.
I think he's pretty stuck on her, too. Speaking of sisters, how are things with Mia? I hope I sound casual.
Your sister is a real force of nature.
He shakes his head, amused by something.
But we're still just friends.
I think she'd like to be more than friends.
Yeah, I think so too.
He blows out a breath. We pull into the driveway and I activate the garage door. We both climb out of the truck to start unloading, as the garage door slowly rises to reveal Anna and Kate standing beside Elliot, astride one of my KTM dirt bikes. They're all staring at us.
Garage band?
I ask, as I saunter toward Anna. She's a little flushed, as if she's been drinking. She grins as her eyes travel down my body. She's amused at my attire. Fishing gear, baby. Or maybe she recognizes the coveralls she sold me at Clayton's.
Hi,
I say,
wondering what the hell they're all doing in the garage.
Hi. Nice coveralls.
Coos Anna. Lots of pockets, very handy for fishing. I remember how attractive but awkward she was when I was at the hardware store. Her cheeks grow rosier. Oh, baby, we've come a long way since then. From the corner of my eye, I see Kate roll her eyes, but I ignore her.
You're wet,
Anna breathes. It was raining. What are you guys doing in the garage? Anna came to fetch some wood. Elliot smirks. Dude. I tried to tempt her to take a ride. He pats the bike.
Fuck no. In this weather. And enough of the smut talk, bro.
She said no, that you wouldn't like it, Elliot says quickly. I slide my eyes to Anna. Did she now? Her cheeks grow rosier still.
Listen, I'm all for standing around discussing what Anna did next, but shall we go back inside?
Kate snaps. She picks up two logs and marches out of the garage. Elliot sighs and swings his leg off the bike and follows her. I turn back to Anna. You can ride a motorcycle?
Not very well. Ethan taught me.
Did he now? My sister and my wife. You made the right decision. The ground's very hard at the moment, and the rains made it treacherous and slippery. Where do you want the fishing gear? Ethan asks. Leave it, Ethan. Taylor will take care of it. What about the fish? Ethan continues, his voice vaguely taunting.
You caught a fish?
Anna asks. No. Not me. Kavanaugh did. I pout. Anna starts laughing. Mrs. Bentley will deal with that, I call. With a smug grin, Ethan takes it into the house.
Am I amusing you, Mrs. Gray? Very much so. You're wet. Let me run you a bath.
As long as you join me. I plant a kiss on her lips. I'll see you up in the bedroom. I've just got to get out of my coveralls. Anna cocks her head to the side. Do you want to watch? I grin at her.
Always. But right now, I'll go run your bath, sir.
I smirk and watch her leave, then head into the mudroom. Man, that was great, Ethan says as he strips out of his waders. Yeah, it's a good spot. I'm happy to sort the gear. He sounds sincere. Okay, I'll help you. No, man, your wife is waiting for you. I'll bring it in. He waves me away as he goes back out to the truck. I don't argue. Instead, I strip out of my gear and leave the coveralls on a peg in the mudroom. On my way to join Anna, I run into Mia at the bottom of the stairs.
Hey, big brother.
She hugs me, taking me by surprise. Mia, I think she's a little tipsy.
Where's Ethan?
He's outside, unloading the truck. She puts her hands on her hips.
Christian Gray, did you make him unload it on his own?
He offered.
You know, I don't hear from you at all since you got married. It's like I don't exist.
She sounds sullen. Hey. I kiss her forehead. You exist. How about I take you for lunch next week? She claps her hands in delight. What have you been drinking? I call after her.
Strawberry daiquiris.
She dashes out to find Ethan, and I shake my head. Taking the stairs two at a time, I go in search of my wife. Anna is hanging a silvery-looking garment in the closet. She must have bought it in town. Did you have a good time? I ask as I enter and close the door.
Yes,
she says, staring at me. What is it?
I was thinking how much I've missed you.
My heart skips a beat at the warmth in her voice.
You sound like you have it bad, Mrs. Gray.
I have, Mr. Gray,
she whispers. I stroll over and stand before her, feeling the heat emanating from her body. What did you buy? I whisper, basking in her warmth.
A dress, some shoes, a necklace. I spent a great deal of your money.
She peers up at me as if she's guilty of some terrible crime. Oh, this will never do. Good, I stress quietly while my fingers ease a stray lock of her hair behind her ear. And for the billionth time, our money. The scent of jasmine and the sound of the bath filling with water drift from the ensuite. With a gentle tug, I release her bottom lip from her teeth. I run my index finger down the front of her t-shirt, between her breasts, over her stomach and belly, to the hem. You won't be needing this in the bath. I grip her t-shirt with both hands and slowly pull it up. Lift your arms. Anna cooperates, her luminous eyes on mine, and I tug off her top, dropping it on the floor.
I thought we were just having a bath.
Her voice is breathy with desire. I want to make you good and dirty first. I've missed you too. I lean down and kiss her. Her hands creep into my hair as she welcomes the touch of my lips, and we're soon lost in each other. Anna's head is off the side of the bed, tipped back as she cries out her orgasm. Her response triggers mine, and I come fast and hard inside her. Panting, I pull her onto my chest and we lie dazed and replete while I stare up at the ceiling.
Shit, the water!
Anna cries and tries to sit up. I keep hold of her. Don't go.
Christian, the bath!
She stares down at me in horror. I laugh. Relax, it's a wet room. I roll onto her, pressing her into the mattress once more, and kiss her quickly. I'll switch off the faucet. Feeling far more relaxed than I have for days, I get up, saunter into the bathroom, and turn off the water. Sure enough, the bath is overflowing, which will make for a fun time with my wife. She follows me in and gapes at the floor. See? I point to where the water is circling the drain. She grins, and together we climb in, laughing as the water splashes out around us. She's piled her hair into an impossible top knot, perched precariously on her head, tendrils falling around her face. She looks lovely, and she's all mine. We sit at opposite ends of the overflowing tub. Foot, I command, and she places her left foot in my hand. I start massaging her sole with my thumbs. She closes her eyes and, as earlier, tips her head back and groans. You like? I whisper. Yes, she breathes. Tugging each of her toes, I watch her lips pucker as she absorbs the pleasure. I kiss each toe in turn and graze my teeth along her little toe.
Ah!
She groans once more, and her eyes pop open. Like that? I start massaging again, and she closes her eyes.
I saw Gia in town,
she says airily.
Really? I think she has a place here. She was with Elliot.
My hands still, and Anna opens her eyes.
What do you mean, with Elliot? We were in a boutique opposite a jeweler. I saw him go in alone, and I thought he must be buying the watch battery. He came out with Gia Mateo. She laughed at something he said, then he kissed her cheek and left.
Maybe Gia helped him select a ring? Anna, they're just friends. I think Elliot is pretty stuck on Kate. Unfortunately. In fact, I know he's pretty stuck on her. Though why, I have no idea.
Kate is gorgeous.
Anna bridles, and I wonder once more if she can read my mind. Still glad it was you who fell into my office. I kiss her big toe, pick up her right foot, and begin the process over again. Anna lays back once more as I lavish attention on her soul, and we stop talking about Elliot and Gia and Kate. I wonder when he's going to propose. I leave Anna to get ready for dinner while I head down to my study to check my emails. I sit down at my desk and open my laptop. As I go through my inbox, there are a couple of irritating work issues that I need to deal with, but I shelve them for the moment. It's the email from Leela that stops me in my tracks. My scalp tingles with apprehension. What the hell does she want?
From Leela Williams to Christian Gray, August 27th, 2011, 1400 EST. Thank you. Sir, or should I just call you Mr. Gray? I don't know anymore. I wanted to say thank you for everything. In person, please. Leela.
I scowl at the screen and at Leela's audacity. I've asked her, via Flynn, not to contact me directly, and yet she sent me this email. I send it on to Flynn and ask him to remind her of my precondition to paying for her treatment and her tuition fees. Hopefully she won't contact me again. To add to my annoyance, there's an email from Roz telling me that the Taiwanese would like to talk tomorrow at 2:30 p.m., their time. On a Sunday? What time is that here? I Google it. Shit. That's 12:30 tonight. What the hell? I call Roz.
Christian, hi, how are you?
She sounds upbeat, which only adds to my annoyance. Pissed? Can you change the time of this call?
I know, it's ridiculous. But no, one of their execs is only available then.
On a Sunday?
It's something to do with them having to be off-site when they make this call.
I sigh. Okay.
I'll be on the call too,
she says, in an attempt to mollify me, I suspect.
And we'll have an interpreter.
Okay, I'll speak to you then. I hang up, irritated. To hell with this. I head into the den where Elliot and Ethan are playing pool and drinking beer. I join them for a drink. Taylor has booked a table at a local restaurant for the six of us, but they have time for a game.
So what's the deal with you and Mia?
Elliot asks Ethan. Ethan chuckles.
You're as bad as your brother.
He eyes me. Like I said to Christian, we're just friends. Elliot raises an eyebrow and directs a look at me. I take a long swig of cool, clean-tasting beer. Did you get what you needed from town? I ask Elliot as we watch Ethan slam in a couple of solids.
Yeah.
He grins. Did you get some help? Elliot cocks his head to one side.
Why do you ask?
Little Bird told me. Elliot scowls, and Ethan fouls the white ball, so he goes to take his shot. My phone buzzes in my back pocket. I have an email from my wife.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 27th, 2011, 1853 MST. Does my butt look big in this? Mr. Gray, I need your sartorial advice. Yours, Mrs. G. Kiss.
Now this I have to see. I type a quick response. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 27th, 2011, 1855 MST. Peachy. Mrs. Gray, I seriously doubt it, but I will come and give your butt a thorough examination just to make sure. Yours in anticipation. Mr. G. Kiss. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, and Butt Inspectorate, Inc. I abandon my beer, bound up two sets of stairs, and open our bedroom door. Wow. Anastasia Gray. Wow. Paralyzed, I stand on the threshold. Anna's in front of the full-length mirror. She's dressed, in a sense, in a tiny silver dress and towering stilettos. Her hair is a glossy veil edging her beautiful face. Kohl frames her eyes, and dark red lipstick paints her mouth. She looks sensational. My body comes alive in response. She flicks her hair to the side.
Well?
She whispers. Anna, you look... Wow.
You like it?
Yes, I guess so. My voice is husky, betraying my desire. I want to mess up her hair and smudge her lipstick. I want her to be my Anna, not this version of her. This powerful, seductive woman is, frankly, a little intimidating. And hot, ball-tighteningly hot. I enter the room, bewitched by my wife, and close the door behind me, glad that I put my jacket back on. She has endless, shapely legs. A vision of her feet in those shoes hooked over my shoulders comes to the forefront of my mind. Fuck. Placing my hands on her naked shoulders, I turn her around so we're both facing the mirror. Christ, this dress hardly has a back. At least it covers her backside, just. Our eyes meet in the glass, smoky blue to darkening gray. She looks every inch the goddess I know, and tall, really tall. I glance down at her naked back and I cannot resist her. I glide a knuckle down her spine and she slowly arches her back into my touch. Oh, Anna. I stop where the dress starts at the small of her back. This is very revealing, I whisper. My hand skates lower, over her pert behind, which is provocatively accentuated in the tight clinging material to the hem. My fingers hover over her skin at her thigh. Gently I caress her, teasing her flesh as my fingers move around her thigh, her eyes following their path. She inhales sharply, her mouth forming a perfectly fuckable O. It's not far from here. I run my fingers around the hem, then higher up her thigh. To here. I touch her panties and stroke her through the thin material. She gasps as I ease my fingers against her, feeling the fabric dampen beneath my touch. Oh, baby. And your point is? Her voice is hoarse. My point is, it's not far from here. I glide my fingers over her panties to the edge and slip my index finger around the fabric so we're skin on skin. To here, and then to here. As we gaze at each other, I slide my finger inside her. She's warm and wet around me, and she closes her eyes as she groans. This is mine. I drip the words into her ear and, closing my eyes, slowly move my finger in and out of her. I don't want anyone else to see this. She starts to pant, and I open my eyes to watch as I pleasure her. So be a good girl and don't bend down, and you should be fine.
You approve?
She breathes. No, but I'm not going to stop you from wearing it. You look stunning, Anastasia. Enough. I want to fuck her. But we don't have time, and as much as I want to smudge her makeup, I'm sure she won't appreciate it. Slowly I withdraw my hand and move so I'm in front of her. Gently I trace her bottom lip with the slick tip of my index finger. She puckers her scarlet lips to kiss it. The contact echoes in my groin. I grin, a wicked grin. This is what I love about my girl. She does not back down from a challenge. I slip my finger in my mouth. She tastes mighty fine. I lick my lips and Anna flushes. Yes, there she is, my girl. Grinning, I take her hand. Come. Hand in hand, we head downstairs to join our guests, and I'm not immune to the admiring looks they all give my wife.
Anna, you look like $1 million!
Mia gushes, giving her a hug. I release Anna and open the closet door. Whose coat is this? I ask, holding up a trench coat.
Mine,
Mia says. Were you going to wear it?
Not tonight.
Good. Can I borrow it?
It'll be a bit small for you,
Mia quips. Ignoring her, I hold up the coat for Anna. She rolls her eyes, but acquiesces and lets me slip it on her.
Good.
She might be cold later, and no one will see her ass. The food at Montagna is excellent, as is, to my surprise, the conversation. It must be the company. I've discovered that I love watching my wife interact with people. She's charming, funny, and smart. Well, I knew that before I married her, but today her shyness is in check, and she's making it look easy. I wonder if it's the amount of alcohol she's consumed that's making her more gregarious. But right now, I don't care. I could watch her all day. She is bewitching, and she offers me hope for our future together. We could do this more often. Bring friends here, entertain them, enjoy time with them. I never thought that would be my thing, but maybe it is. I'm warming more and more to Ethan. He's passionate about his academic field and excited to be joining the postgraduate psychology program at Seattle U.
Man, you know a lot about this shit,
he says as we await dessert. I chuckle.
I should. I've seen enough shrinks.
He frowns as if he doesn't quite believe me.
Really?
You have no idea. Elliot stands suddenly, his chair scraping across the floor, the noise ringing over the general level of chatter. We all turn to look at him. He's gazing down at Kate, and she's gazing up at him as if he's grown an extra head. Elliot drops to one knee.
Oh, fuck. Dude, here?
He takes her hand, and I think he has the attention of the entire restaurant.
My beautiful Kate, I love you. Your grace, your beauty, and your fiery spirit have no equal, and you have captured my heart. Spend your life with me. Marry me.
There's a collective intake of breath. Anna grabs my hand, and all eyes turn to Kavanaugh, who just gapes at Elliot in shock. A tear trickles down her cheek, and she splays her hand on her chest, as if she's trying to contain her emotion. Finally, she smiles.
Yes,
she whispers. The patrons in the place erupt with cheers, applause, catcalls. This is so Elliot, in a crowded restaurant in front of everyone. The guy is fearless. My admiration for him grows exponentially. From his pocket, he produces a ring box and opens it, showing her the ring inside. Kate throws her arms around him and they kiss. I laugh as their audience goes wild. Elliot stands, takes a well-deserved bow, and sits down beside his fiancée with a ridiculous grin plastered on his face. Anna is crying and squeezing my hand. Shit. I remember when I first asked her to marry me. She cried then, too. We were on the floor of the living room in Escala, and I had confessed my worst. I wonder what Ethan Kavanaugh would make of that if he knew. Don't go there, Gray. Elliot is sliding the ring onto Kate's finger, which reminds me that I have lost the feeling in mine. I squeeze Anna's hand, and she lets go, letting the blood rush back into my fingertips. Anna has the grace to look embarrassed.
Ow.
I mouth the word.
Sorry. Did you know about this?
She whispers. I give her my best sphinx-like smile and summon the waiter. 2 bottles of the Cristal, please. The 2002, if you have it. He gives me a wide grin and rushes off. Anna smirks.
What? I ask.
Because the 2002 is so much better than the 2003.
She teases me. I laugh. She's right. But I don't have to tell her that. To the discerning palate, Anastasia.
You have a very discerning palate, Mr. Gray, and singular tastes.
That I do, Mrs. Gray. I lean closer, catching a trace of her scent. You taste best. I kiss the pulse point beneath her ear. Mia is up and hugging Kate and Elliot. Anna follows.
Kate, I am so happy for you. Congratulations,
Anna says while she clutches Kate. I hold out my hand to Elliot. He grins, and he looks so relieved and happy that I pull him into a hug, surprising us both. Way to go, Elliot. Elliot stills for a nanosecond, no doubt shocked by my sudden display of affection. Then he embraces me.
Thanks, Christian,
he says, his voice cracking on my name. I hug Kate quickly. I hope you are as happy in your marriage as I am in mine.
Thank you, Christian. I hope so, too,
she says sweetly.
She can be sweet. Maybe she's not as annoying as I thought she was.
The waiter opens the champagne and pours it into our flutes. Taking mine, I hold it up to the happy couple in a toast. To Kate and my dear brother, Elliot, congratulations.
Kate and Elliot,
we all murmur. Anna is smiling. What are you thinking about? I ask.
The first time I drank this champagne?
I frown, filing through the myriad memories I have of Anna.
We were at your club,
she says. The elevator. I grin, Anna with no panties. Oh, yes, I remember. I wink at her.
Elliot, have you set a date?
Mia pipes up. Elliot shakes his head, his exasperation obvious. I've only just asked Kate, so we'll get back to you on that, Kay?
Oh, make it a Christmas wedding. That would be so romantic, and you'd have no trouble remembering your anniversary.
Mia claps her hands. I'll take that under advisement. Elliot smirks at her.
After the champagne, can we please go clubbing?
Mia turns and gives me her most pleading look. I think we should ask Elliot and Kate what they'd like to do. Elliot shrugs and Kate blushes. I think she wants to return home to the seclusion of their room. I walk to the front of the line with our guests and we're ushered into Zach's, the nightclub that Mia has set her heart on attending. The music is already thumping through the small lobby. I don't know how long I'm going to last here.
Mr. Gray, welcome back,
the receptionist says.
Max will take your coat.
Her words are directed at Anna. A young man dressed in black appears at her side. I think he approves of my wife's appearance, a little too much for my liking. Nice coat, he says, admiring Anna's physique. I glare at the little prick. Back off, bud. He hastily hands me a coat check ticket.
Let me show you to your table.
The hostess bats her eyelashes at me, and Anna tightens her grip on my arm. I glance down at her, but her eyes are on the hostess, and we follow her into the club to a VIP seating area near the dance floor.
There'll be someone along to take your order shortly.
The hostess waltzes off while we sit down. Champagne? I ask, as Ethan and Mia both head to the dance floor, holding hands. Ethan gives me a thumbs up.
Show me your ring,
Anna asks Kate, while I turn my attention to my sister and Ethan on the dance floor. She's making her usual crazy moves, but Ethan seems unconcerned and is following her lead. The waitress arrives for our drink order. Ignoring Elliot's protest about paying, I reel off. Bottle of Cristal, 3 Peronis, and a bottle of iced mineral water, 6 glasses.
Thank you, sir. Coming right up.
Anna is shaking her head. What? I ask her.
She didn't flutter her eyelashes at you.
I must be losing my touch. I try hard not to grin. Oh, was she supposed to?
Women usually do.
I smile. Mrs. Gray, are you jealous? And tipsy?
Not in the slightest.
Though she pouts, I take her hand and bring it to my lips, kissing each knuckle. You have nothing to be jealous of, Mrs. Gray.
I know. Good.
The waitress returns with our drinks and opens the bottle of champagne with little fuss. She pours it, and Anna takes a sip. Here. I hand her a glass of water. Drink this. Anna frowns, and I sigh. 3 glasses of white wine at dinner and 2 of champagne after a strawberry daiquiri and 2 glasses of Frascati at lunchtime. Drink now, Anna. She scowls at me, probably because I'm keeping score, but she does as she's told. I'm hoping she'll avoid a hangover tomorrow. She wipes her hand over her mouth in a less than decorous way. I'm assuming it's her version of a protest at my high-handedness. Good girl, you vomited on me once already. I don't wish to experience that again in a hurry.
I don't know what you're complaining about. You got to sleep with me.
This is true. Yeah, I did.
Ethan's had enough for now,
Mia exclaims when they return from the dance floor.
Come on, girls, let's hit the floor. Strike a pose, throw some shapes, work off the calories from the chocolate mousse.
Kate stands up.
Coming?
She asks Elliot. Let me watch you, he says.
I'm going to burn some calories,
Anna says, then leans down so I get a glimpse of some fine cleavage, and she whispers,
You can watch me.
Don't bend over. I warn.
Okay.
She stands upright quickly and grabs my shoulder. Shit. I reach up to support her as she sways, but I don't think she notices. She's dizzy or drunk or both. Perhaps you should have some more water, I offer. Perhaps I should take her home.
I'm fine. These seats are low and my heels are high.
She smiles, and Kate takes her hand as they head onto the dance floor. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Kate hugs Anna, and then they both start to move. Mia is, well, Mia. I'm used to watching her lost in her own world, dancing around the room. She rarely keeps still. Kavanaugh can dance, and so can my wife. She sets the dance floor alight in that scrap of material she calls a dress. Legs, back, ass, hair. She's letting loose in a most provocative way. She closes her eyes and surrenders herself to the thumping beat. Fuck. My mouth dries as I watch her move. In my previous life, I enjoyed watching dancing like this, but it was always in the privacy of my apartment, and always at my command. I run my thumb over my bottom lip and shift in my chair as my body responds to my wife. Maybe I could persuade Anna to do this at home, for my eyes only. The lyrics of the song are apt. Damn, you's a sexy bitch. As the music pulses through the club, more and more people crowd onto the dance floor. I glance at Elliot, who grins back at me, and we both laugh. This is a good game, I mutter. Sure is. His grin is wicked, and I know exactly what he's thinking. Dirty dog. You did it, I say over the thumping music. What? Proposed, in public. Yeah, it was a now or never moment. Happy? He nods, beaming. Very. I glance back at Anna just in time to see a haystack of a man looming over her and Anna smacking him across his face. What the fuck? Adrenaline courses through my veins, followed closely by a rage that's bang for blood. Springing up from my seat, I knock over my beer, but I don't give a shit. Did he put his hands on my wife? I'm going to fucking kill him. At lightning speed, I weave through the throng as Anna looks around frantically. I'm here, baby. Slipping my arm around her waist, I move her to my side. The motherfucker in front of her is half a head taller than me, and too broad, like he's overdone the steroids. He's young and stupid. Keep your fucking hands off my wife. She can take care of herself, he shouts. I hit him hard, an uppercut to his chin. And he drops to the floor. Stay down, asshole. I'm wound so tight every sinew and muscle on high alert. I'm ready. Bring it.
Christian, no!
Anna moves in front of me, and I'm vaguely aware of the panic in her voice.
I already hit him!
She shouts, her hands pushing at my chest. But I don't take my eyes off the cocksucker on the floor. He scrambles hastily to his feet. And I feel another hand tighten around my arm. I tense, ready to hit that person too. It's Elliot. The haystack holds up his palms in defeat. Take it easy, okay? Didn't mean any harm. He moves away, tail between his legs, and I have to quell the urge to follow him and teach him some fucking manners. My heart is pounding to the same beat that's shaking the room. I hear it, the blood thumping against my eardrums. Or is it the music? I don't know. Elliot eases his hold on me and finally lets go. I'm frozen, in place, battling to stay afloat and not descend into the abyss. I take a deep breath and finally look down at Anna. Her arms are around my neck, her eyes wide and fearful. Shit. Are you okay? I ask.
Yes.
She slides her hands from my neck to my chest, her eyes searing my soul. She's scared. For me? For her? For the haystack? Do you want to sit down? I ask. Anna shakes her head.
No, dance with me.
She wants to dance now? I remain impassive as I fight to bring my fury under control, my mind replaying the last 15 seconds in a loop.
Dance with me,
she says again, pleading.
Dance, Christian, please.
She takes my hands while I watch the asshole make his way to the exit. Anna starts to move against me. Her warmth, her heat, brushing up against me and seeping into my veins. It's distracting.
You hit him?
I want to check that I didn't imagine that.
Of course I did.
My hands fist, because I want to smack him again. She continues.
I thought it was you, but his hands were hairier. Please dance with me.
Her fingers curl around my bald fists, and she moves closer so I catch a trace of her scent. Anna. Grabbing her wrists, I haul her against my body and pin her hands beneath mine. You want to dance? Let's dance. I growl in her ear and roll my hips against her, enjoying the feel of her against my groin. I don't let go, but when she smiles, I release her and she moves her hands up my arms to my shoulders. We move, together, forehead against forehead, eye to eye, body to body, soul to soul. I keep her close. As she relaxes, she throws her head back. God, she's sexy. I am one lucky man. I spin her across the floor to watch her hair fly out around her, then pull her back to me as the throbbing rhythm infects us both. I've never done this. In a club. We danced at our wedding. But not like this. It's liberating. When the song changes, she's breathless, her eyes shining. And my equilibrium has returned. I must download this song onto my iPod. I think it's called Touch Me. Apt. I've not heard it before.
Can we sit?
She gasps.
Sure.
We head back toward our table.
You've made me rather hot and sweaty,
she whispers. I wrap my arms around her. I like you hot and sweaty, though I prefer to make you hot and sweaty in private. Exhilarated, we sit down. I'm relieved to see that my spilled beer has been cleaned up and replenished, as has our water. The others are still on the dance floor. Anna takes a sip of her champagne. Here. I place a glass of sparkling mineral water in front of her, and I'm relieved to watch her down the entire glass. I grab myself a beer from the ice bucket and take a long swig. What a night.
What if there had been press here?
Anna asks. I shrug. I have expensive lawyers. She frowns.
But you're not above the law, Christian. I did have the situation under control.
Really? No one touches what's mine. I insert the right amount of venom into that statement. Anna takes another sip of champagne and closes her eyes. Suddenly, she looks weary. I grasp her hand. Come, let's go. I want to get you home.
You going?
Asks Kate as she and Elliot arrive back at the table. Yes.
Good, we'll come with you.
Anna falls asleep in the minivan on the way back, her head on my shoulder. She's fried. I shake her gently when Taylor pulls up outside the house. Wake up, Anna. She staggers out into the cool air where Taylor is waiting patiently. Do I need to carry you? I ask her. She shakes her head. I'll go fetch Miss Gray and Mr. Kavanaugh, Taylor says. Anna clings to me as she tiptoes up the stone steps to the oak front door. Taking pity on her, I bend down, unstrap and remove each of her shoes. Better? She nods and gives me a bleary smile. She's tipsy. I had delightful visions of these around my ears, I whisper, looking wistfully down at her fuck-me heels, but she's too tired for that. I open the door and we head upstairs to our bedroom. She stands, swaying, beside our bed, eyes closed, hands loose at her sides. You're wrecked, aren't you? I stare down into her sleepy face. She nods and I start to unbuckle her coat.
I'll do it,
she mumbles and tries to brush me off. Let me. She sighs and resigns herself to her fate. It's the altitude. You're not used to it. And the drinking, of course. I smirk down at her and ease her out of her coat, tossing it aside onto a chair. Taking her hand, I lead her into the bathroom. She frowns. Sit, I order. She slumps onto the chair and closes her eyes. She might fall asleep if I'm not quick enough. In the vanity, I find the Advil, cotton balls, and moisturizer that Mrs. Bentley has supplied, and fill a small glass with water. I turn back to Anna and gently tip her head back. She opens eyes that are smudged with makeup. Eyes closed, I order. She obliges, and gently I clean the makeup off until finally she's smudge-free. Ah, there's the woman I married.
You don't like makeup?
I like it well enough, but I prefer what's beneath it. I kiss her forehead. Here, take these. I place the tablets on her palm and hand her the water. She gazes up at me, pouting.
What?
Take them. You'll feel worse tomorrow if you don't. She rolls her eyes, but does as she's told. Good. Do you need a private moment? She scoffs.
So coy, Mr. Gray. Yes, I need to pee.
I laugh. You expect me to leave? She giggles.
You want to stay?
I cock my head to one side. It's tempting.
You are one kinky son of a bitch. Out. I don't want you to watch me pee. That's a step too far.
She stands up and waves me out of the bathroom. I suppress my laughter and leave her to it. In the bedroom, I strip out of my clothes, change into my pajama bottoms, and hang my jacket in the closet. When I turn around, Anna is watching me. Grabbing a t-shirt, I stroll up to her, appreciating her frankly lascivious appraisal of my body. Enjoying the view?
Always,
she slurs. I think you're slightly drunk, Mrs. Gray.
I think for once I have to agree with you, Mr. Gray.
Let me help you out of what little there is of this dress. It really should come with a health warning. I turn her around, sweep her hair to the side, and undo the single button at the halter neck.
You were so mad,
she says. Yes, I was.
At me?
No, not at you. I kiss her shoulder. For once.
Makes a nice change.
Yes, it does. I kiss her other shoulder, then tug her dress over her behind. Hooking my thumbs into her panties, I bend down and remove them together. I take her hand. Step.
She does, tightening her fingers around mine as she wobbles.
I toss her clothes on top of the coat. Arms up. I slip the t-shirt over her head and pull her into my arms and kiss her. She tastes of champagne and toothpaste and my favorite flavor, Anna.
As much as I'd love to bury myself in you, Mrs. Gray, you've had too much to drink. You're at nearly 8,000 feet, and you didn't sleep well last night. Come, get into bed.
I pull back the duvet and let her climb in. She snuggles down as I cover her up and kiss her forehead. Close your eyes. When I come back to bed, I'll expect you to be asleep.
Don't go.
I have some calls to make, Anna.
It's Saturday. It's late. Please.
She looks up at me with her soul-searching eyes. I run my hand through my hair. Anna, if I come to bed with you now, you won't get any rest. Sleep. She pouts once more, but without any real passion. She's too tired. I brush my lips against her forehead again. Good night, baby. I turn and leave her. I have to get Taipei on the line. Sunday, August 28th, 2011. Anna is comatose when I return to bed. Slipping beneath the covers, I lean over and kiss her hair. She mumbles something unintelligible, but remains fast asleep. I close my eyes. My conversation with the owners of the Taiwanese shipyard was a success. A brother and sister in business together. It's a first for me, and they're keen to discuss terms in person. We just have to settle on a date. It's the icing on the cake of a good day. Well, apart from losing it at the club and punching that asshole's lights out, I grin into the darkness. No, that felt pretty good, too. With a self-satisfied smile on my face, I drift. Anna squirms against me, and I wake, fully. As usual, my limbs are entwined with hers. What's wrong? I ask.
Nothing.
She's luminous in the early morning sunshine.
Good morning.
She runs her fingers through my hair.
Mrs. Gray, you look lovely this morning.
I press my lips to her cheek. Her eyes search mine.
Thank you for taking care of me last night.
I like taking care of you. It's what I want to do. Always.
You make me feel cherished.
Her smile warms my heart.
That's because you are.
More than you'll ever know. I grasp her hand and she winces. I release her immediately.
Shit.
The punch? I ask. I knew I should have hit that prick again.
I slapped him, I didn't punch him.
That fucker. I can't bear that he touched you. My temper flares.
He didn't hurt me. He was just inappropriate, Christian. I'm okay. My hand's a little red, that's all. Surely you know what that's like.
She smirks, laughing at me as usual, and my brief burst of anger dissolves. Why, Mrs. Gray, I am very familiar with that. I could reacquaint myself with that feeling this minute, should you so wish.
Oh, stow your twitching palm, Mr. Gray.
She runs her fingertips over my cheek and then tugs the little hairs of my sideburn. I'm not sure I like the feeling. I take her hand and kiss her palm.
Why didn't you tell me this hurt last night?
I didn't really feel it last night. It's okay now.
Ah, yes. Alcohol deadened the pain. How are you feeling?
Better than I deserve.
That's quite a right arm you have there, Mrs. Gray.
You'd do well to remember that, Mr. Gray.
And there's a challenge in her tone.
Oh, really?
I roll onto her and grab her wrists, holding them above her head.
I'd fight you any day. In fact, subduing you in bed is a fantasy of mine.
I kiss her throat, wondering what that would be like. The idea is arousing.
I thought you subdued me all the time.
But I'd like some resistance.
I murmur, running my nose along her jaw, wondering if she'd ever agree to that. She stills beneath me, and I know I have her attention, and possibly her interest. Releasing her hands, I lean up on my elbows.
You want me to fight you? Here?
She whispers, trying to contain her surprise. I nod.
Why not?
I've always wanted to do this, but couldn't, because I couldn't bear to have anyone touch me.
Now?
She asks. I shrug. Part of me can't believe she's even entertaining the idea, but I'm thrilled that she might. I nod again as my dick grows rigid against her soft flesh. Anna toys with her bottom lip as she gazes at me, and I know she's considering the notion.
Is this what you meant about coming to bed angry?
Yes, exactly. I nod. Don't bite your lip. She narrows her eyes, but there's a flash of amusement and possibly desire in their depths as her pupils enlarge.
I think you have me at a disadvantage, Mr. Gray.
She wriggles beneath me and flutters her lashes, and I want her all the more.
Disadvantage?
Surely you've already got me where you want me.
Her smile is coy as I press my eager cock against her.
Good point well made, Mrs. Gray.
I kiss her quickly and roll over, taking her with me so she's astride my belly. She grabs my hands, pinning them to the bed on each side of my head. Her eyes sparkle with carnal mischief, and her hair tumbles down over my face. She shakes her head to torture me, the ends of her hair tickling my face.
So you want to play rough?
She asks while she teases me, her groin skimming over mine.
I inhale suddenly. Yes.
She sits up and releases my hands.
Wait.
Reaching for the glass of sparkling water I left for her on the nightstand, she takes a long draft. While I skate my fingers and circles up her thighs to her ass, I give it a good squeeze. She leans down and kisses me, pouring cool water into my mouth.
Very tasty, Mrs. Gray,
I murmur, trying to contain my excitement at our new game. Placing the glass back on the nightstand, she grabs my hands from her behind and pins them on either side of my head once more.
So I'm supposed to be unwilling?
She sounds amused.
Yes. I'm not much of an actress.
I grin. Try. Leaning down, she kisses me once more.
Okay, I'll play.
She murmurs, and I close my eyes, inwardly rejoicing as she skims her teeth along my jaw. I groan deep in my throat and move quickly, pinning her beneath me. Anna cries out in surprise, and I make a play to grab her hands, but she's too quick. She pushes against my chest as I try to part her legs with my knee, but her thighs are firmly clamped together. I capture her wrist, but she grabs my hair with her other hand and yanks it hard.
Fuck, this is hot.
Ugh. I twist my head free and stare down at her. Her eyes are wide and wild, her breathing erratic. She's turned on, too. It's a torch to my libido.
Savage,
I whisper, my lust laced through each syllable. Anna is unleashed. She tries to wrest her hand from mine as she attempts to buck me off. I grab her free hand with my left, so I have both of her wrists pinned above her head, leaving my right hand to linger over her body. My fingers travel down, my aim to lift the hem of her t-shirt, but I love the feel of her flesh beneath the soft material. Her nipple is hard, ready for me, and I greet it with a tweak. Anna yelps and tries in vain to buck me off once more. I lean down to kiss her, and she turns her face away from me.
No.
I clasp her chin and hold her in place while my teeth graze her jaw, as she did to me earlier.
Oh, baby, fight me.
My voice is husky with need. She twists and writhes once more, trying to free herself, but I keep my hold on her, and it's such a kick, a heady, euphoric feeling of dominance. Teasing her lower lip with my teeth, I try to invade her mouth, but suddenly she softens beneath me, granting my tongue access and kissing me back, her passion taking me by surprise. I release her wrists, and her hands are in my hair while she wraps her legs around me, her heels at my ass, pushing down my pajamas. She tips her pelvis up to me as we kiss.
Anna,
I whisper, her name a talisman as she bewitches me. We're no longer fighting. We're surrendering to each other. I cannot get enough of her. She's on me. I'm on her. We're lips and tongues and mouths and hands.
Fuck, I want her.
Skin, I mumble, panting. I haul her up and remove her t-shirt in one fast move, throwing it on the floor.
You...
She whispers, and she yanks down my pajamas and grabs my cock, squeezing me hard as she tightens her hand around me.
Fuck!
I grab her thighs, lifting them so she falls back on the bed, but she doesn't let go of me. Her fingers move over me, hot and fevered, her thumb teasing me, while my hands caress her body, her hips, her stomach, her breasts. She slips her thumb in her mouth.
Tastes good?
I ask, as she stares at me, her eyes burning with desire.
Yes, here.
She shoves her thumb into my mouth as I hover over her. Tasting and biting the pad, I suck her thumb and marvel at her audacity. She groans, her fingers tugging on my hair, bringing my mouth to hers. She folds around me, pushing my pajamas off with her feet. My teeth skim her jaw, nipping gently.
You're so beautiful.
My lips continue their journey down her throat.
Such beautiful skin.
Across her chest and onward to her breasts. Anna writhes beneath me.
Christian.
She begs, tightening her hands in my hair.
Hush.
My tongue circles her nipple, honoring it, before my lips close around it and I tug.
Uh-huh.
She moans, tilting her hips so that we're slick against each other. I grin against her skin. I'm going to make her wait. Gliding my lips to her other breast, I greet its erect and eager nipple with my mouth.
Impatient, Mrs. Gray.
I suck hard on her, and Anna yanks hard on my hair, eliciting a long groan from me. I narrow my eyes in warning. I'll restrain you.
Take me,
she beseeches. All in good time. My lips and tongue pay homage to her breast and nipple while Anna continues to squirm beneath me. She moans loudly, her pelvis thrusting against my ready dick. Suddenly she twists and bucks, trying to throw me off her again. What the? I grab her hands and pin her down into the mattress. Anna is panting underneath me.
You wanted resistance,
she rasps. I take some of my weight on my elbows and gaze down at her, trying to understand her sudden change of heart again. Her heels dig into my ass. She wants me. Now. You don't want to play nice? My cock is straining.
I just want you to make love to me, Christian,
she says through gritted teeth.
Please.
Her heels press into my ass again with more force this time. Fuck, what's going on here? Releasing her hands, I sit back on my haunches, pulling her into my lap. Okay, Mrs. Gray, we'll do this your way. Lifting her, I lower her onto my waiting erection.
Ah,
she groans, closing her eyes and tipping back her head. God, she feels so good. She curls her arms around my neck, her fingers clamped over my head, and she starts to move, fast, frantic. My lips find hers, and I surrender to her pace and her supercharged rhythm until we both shout out as we come and collapse back on the bed. Wow. That was different. We both lie there, catching our breath. She runs her fingertips through my chest hair, and I thrum my fingers down her back, enjoying the contact.
You're quiet,
Anna says eventually, and kisses my shoulder. I turn to look at her, trying to understand what just happened.
That was fun,
she says, but as her eyes search mine, she looks uncertain. You confound me, Anna.
Confound you?
I turn so we're face to face. Yes, you, calling the shots. It's different. The small V forms between her brows as she frowns.
Good different or bad different?
She traces her finger over my lips, and I pucker them to kiss her fingertip as I contemplate her question. Good different. Frantic, though. I would have liked that to last longer.
You've never indulged this little fantasy before?
No, Anastasia. You can touch me. And it was fucking hot. I'd like to do it again.
Mrs. Robinson could touch you.
My eyes find hers while I wonder why she would bring up Elena at this time. That was different, I whisper. Anna's eyes widen, seeing through me as ever.
Good different or bad different? She asks.
The searing pain of Elena's touch flares in my imagination, her hands on me, her nails scraping my skin while the darkness flailed and clawed at me from within, trying to throw her off. It was unbearable. I swallow, trying to dispel the memory. Bad, I think. The words are less than a whisper.
I thought you liked it.
I did, at the time.
Not now?
Anna's eyes are a guileless blue, impossible to escape. Slowly I shake my head.
Oh, Christian.
She launches herself at me, an unstoppable force of good, kissing my face, my chest, each of my scars. I groan and answer her kiss with my own passion and my love, and we're soon lost, making love at my pace, slowly, tenderly, so I can show her how much I love her. Anna is brushing her teeth as I finish dressing. I'll go and check on our guests. Her eyes meet mine in the bathroom mirror.
I have a question.
I lean against the door jamb.
Pray, what do you wish to know, Mrs. Gray?
She turns to face me, dressed only in a towel.
Does Mrs. Bentley know about your... your...
predilections, I offer. Anna flushes and I laugh, because Anna can still blush at anything to do with sex, and because Mr. and Mrs. Bentley have no idea. No, no playroom here. We'll have to bring some toys. I wink at her and turn to go, leaving her mouth open. Kate and Mrs. Bentley are chatting in the kitchen. They're the only ones up, it seems, on such a beautiful morning. I greet them both.
Good morning, Mr. Gray,
Carmela says. Kate smiles, and frankly, it's unnerving. I'm more used to her snarling at me. We could go for a hike and a picnic before heading home, I suggest to Kate.
Sounds great. Waffles okay today?
Mrs. Bentley asks. Great. Picnic for later, would that be possible?
Of course,
she says, with a look that tells me I shouldn't dare doubt her culinary abilities.
Oh, and Martin would like a word with you,
she continues.
He's somewhere in the yard.
I'll go find him. Martin Bentley is weeding what Mrs. Bentley calls the kitchen garden.